Welcome to The Scrap Show, a production of Recycling Today that covers the business of scrap metal recycling. We feature conversations about markets, technology, the industry's rich history, and the traditions and its ways of doing business that stay reliably familiar. Listen in as guests from across the country and around the world, processors, traders, and industry allies, provide insights and observations. The Scrap Show, a conversation between friends and an industry with a rich history and a bright future.
Hello, and welcome to The Scrap Show. I'm Recycling Today Media Group Editorial Director Deanne Toto. Today we'll be hearing from Mark Schupan, CEO of Schupan & Sons, headquartered in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I had the pleasure of talking to Mark in November of last year for a profile on the company that ran in the December 2022 issue of Recycling Today. This podcast includes some excerpts from that discussion. Mark shares how he was thrust into leading the company despite having had other career plans, the importance of company culture, and the opportunities that lay ahead for Schupan and the aluminum recycling sector more broadly.
Anyway, well, hello.
As I said, thank you very much. I would like to give you the opportunity to, you know, let me know the direction you would like to go with this conversation. So if there's anything in particular you want to make sure we touch on, we can start there.
I always talk about culture beats strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Culture has really been, over the years, the reason we've been successful, bringing the right people in. And I really believe that's true. You know, if you surround yourself with the right people, you have problems, we'll solve them. Now, you can have strategy in the world, but if you don't have the right people, it doesn't matter. Kind of how I've been, and you know, you have the idea of always hiring people that are stronger in certain areas than you are, which I could find plenty of those. Especially, I don't know what to tell you. Really, I mean, I've been here 48 years. I'm probably most people my have long since retired, but I like what I do. I like our growth. I think it's Deming or Demmer. The economist, business kind of philosopher, mm-hmm. and I saw this, I don't know how long ago, but I really like it, said you don't have to change, the Bible's not mandatory. But we've always been, I think, pretty progressive from a standpoint of, as opposed to waiting for something to happen, that we actually are progressive from the standpoint of being ahead of trying new things, new areas of business. And, you know, we're not always right, but I think you continue to have to find ways the world changes pretty quickly, especially with the world today. So,
yes.
A totally different environment than it was 12 months ago. As far as which way the metal markets are going, and so how, and the question is, how do you deal with it? How do you survive it?
Mm-hmm. So, how would you describe your culture?
Well, there's a sign in my office from 19. I'm looking at it right now from 1941, off a paper mill calendar, and it says, "There's nothing nearly so clever as honesty and sincerity."
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's really how we try everything, from how we treat our own employees to our consumers to our customers to our community. And I think the people who work here, if they've been here long enough, after a while they understand how you deal with people and how you deal with these things. You treat people as you wish to be treated. And I think culturally, again, I've been doing this a long time and everything, but I think the idea is to have a culture where people, when they get up and come to work, to say, hey, one, I'm important, and what I do is important, and that somebody else appreciates what they do, and they know that. And that goes a long way, I think, from a standpoint of being successful. And I think that's people that do business with us, have done business with us, they seek us out to want to do more business with us. And get opportunities all the time, coming from all over the country, and actually all over the world for people that wanted to stuff, which is good.
Great.
That sounds pretty cool, but whatever.
Would you also describe your culture as entrepreneurial to an extent?
Well, I'll put it this way. You know, when my dad died in 1974, we had 6 employees. We have 700 now, so I would guess that if we weren't entrepreneurial, we would be gone by now. There's not that many businesses that are, you know, family businesses that are 54 years old now. So, I would say we're definitely entrepreneurial. Now, I never have thought of myself. Now, I just got that. I don't know if I mentioned anything, but in fact, I'm going out to California in 2 weeks, but I got honored with the E&Y, one of those regional entrepreneurs of the year for Michigan and Northern Ohio. And then we go out to California to see who the finalists are. I was thinking I just got one for being the oldest entrepreneur. I get a lot of credit for a lot of things our employees do, and community and other things and whatever. So I'm very proud of them, very proud. And I think everyone will tell you the reason they like working here is because they feel that they make a difference and that people listen to them and that, they feel valued. 3 years before I ever got business here, and I also was coach. And I think being knowing that every day, especially as a teacher, I taught high school, and I had hundreds of kids, and every day they're going to come in and they got their challenges and whatever, and how you deal with them from a standpoint of respect and not embarrassing them, and I think it goes a long way. And the idea of coaching was again. My father hadn't died, I probably would have ended up being a college basketball coach. I wouldn't want to be in the business. I really didn't want to be. So, but he died, very suddenly, and I was oldest. And so you do what you have to, and I've enjoyed that. I've always been competitive, but always also we do things the right way. I mean, Mark Twain, one of my favorite sayings is, "You never go wrong doing the right thing." And I think, sometimes people might want to try to take advantage of that, but I think in the long run, it's a lot easier to operate that way. Everybody knows if we have a mistake, we admit it, we fix it, and we take that lemon and make lemonade a lot of times, where we strengthen the relationship with the companies we deal with. If people are not afraid to say, hey, I made a mistake, or da-da-da-da-da. I think it makes a huge difference and how you deal with challenge. So, because it's not a question of people hiding things.
And you mentioned you had no desire to go into the business. What changed your mind? What made you stick with it for all these years then?
Well, basically I was going to work with my father for 1 year and then I was going to law school. Or try to coach college basketball. That was my, and I'm pretty sure I would chose in the basketball. I've been very successful at that. And I really believe I would have made a good college coach, and I'd be fired or retired by now. But anyway, I was home. My dad had a stroke and died 3 weeks after I was home. And so Sunday was a funeral. Monday morning, I was at work, and I'd been here. As time goes on, you try things. The first few years, you just, you put a lot of hours in. You do what you need to do. My mother was 46, and I had a younger sister, a younger brother. And failure was not an option. And then as time goes on, again, being competitive, and I don't think in terms of entrepreneurship, but I think you have to try new things. And it's kind of like that quote I said, you don't have to change. Survival is not mandatory. We didn't diversify like we have in the 5 units we have and this and that, whatever. And a lot of them complement each other. But there's no way we would have grown or been successful. And it depends on how you define success. Mm-hmm. And it's not my goal to be the richest guy in the gravy, but that's not how I look at success. Success is basically how all of us do together. And my mom used to say, it's easier to get somebody's shirt off your back if you have to have another one. Mm-hmm. You grew up with me, but if you're ever successful, she expected that you would be able to do things in your community to make it a better place. And I think there's a number of things over the years that are important to me. And if we're successful, the more successful we are, the more things we can do, and the more things we do for our employees, because it's their company. Mm-hmm. And we really, even when we get bonuses at the end of the year, if we have a good year, we certainly share with our employees. Nothing necessarily totally defined, but I let them know we're not giving in bonuses. You've earned them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have what you have is because you deserve them. So, and I think those things are important, at least culturally. You have, if you look at the metal trading group, which buys metal all over the United States, outside, we buy metal out of Central America. Mexico, I'm not sure we're buying out of South America also. Those are generally, in trading, they're usually high dollar, low margin, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little deceiving there. We have our industrial scrap division where we're servicing accounts. I think we have, I don't know, pretty large number of those that we service on a daily, weekly, whatever. That's a different business with instead of having traders, you have equipment and processors and all the things and all the roll off equipment that goes in or trailers that go into all these companies to service them. That business is a little different and it has better margins, but you also have a lot higher costs.
Mm-hmm.
That contributes. The beverage area, beverage recycling division, I won't get any details, but I know we're the largest in the United States as far as the private company, and that has to do with the beverage container business.
Mm-hmm.
And we buy all over the place besides the United States. So, our electronics division is young, hasn't been there that long, and we're still kind of finding our way there, so that's on the lower end of at the moment, profit side, but it's in the moment, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see, how many is that? 5 or 4?
I think it was 4.
Okay, well you got the and we have our trading, and we also have our international trading group. So they're sort of intertwined, but they're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And two different presidents for those divisions. But we all tie in because, if you look at our distribution and manufacturing. I mean, we not only we buy let's say, aluminum extrusions from a number of companies, but we also are supplying them with the raw, with the scrap to make also.
Mm-hmm.
But really, we close the loop a lot.
Right. And you mentioned that the materials trading division is probably likely your biggest source for growth here in the future.
Our international.
Yes, the international.
Very much so. For some reason, we seem to be in high demand. There's a company that wants business with us. It's good. It's just great.
Great. What do you think it is your differentiator then in that space?
Well, I think part of it is I think the level of talent of people that we have that have been in the industry, that work for other companies, big companies, so they know us. And I think it's really simple. We honor. We say we're going to do something. We don't. You don't need 25 pages legally, we honor our word. A handshake is works for us on our side of the deal. And I think over the years, like anything else, people want to do business with people they like and that they trust. We're not here to outsmart or anybody. We're here to try to figure out how to work together that we're both successful. If it's not a win-win, it's not going to last. That they really like doing business with us, and you know that's a nice thing. You know, and it's not always everything hearts and flowers, but you know, it's not every day you have to put out a fire every day either by any stretch here. And I'm excited. I mean, we'll get the details, but we got two new plants that are going to be built in the next year and a half, and we're moving forward. I can't wait to see where we're going to be in a couple of years. The markets ever come back? We'll see.
Hopefully, that'll be sooner rather than later. But
well, I just was at a global leadership program in Washington, and Europe's in way worse shape than we are.
Yep.
And China's got some very serious problems right now, and it's going to have problems in the future. They went from having 10 employees support one retiree, and it won't be long, it'll be one person supporting one-on-one as opposed to 10-to-1. Mm-hmm. So it's going to, China's going to have some challenges, and obviously with what's going on with Russia and everything else, these are very strange times to be in business, and we're seeing some areas where there obviously were some parts of industry are in a recession now.
Mm-hmm.
Some more are going to be soon if they're not. So it's just how do you get through it the best you can. And the other thing, we won't see people laid off here about the 48 years I've been here, and that was for 2 months. If I would have been a public company, they'd have fired me. But I think to have loyalty, I think you have to give loyalty. And again, if that meant, during COVID, we had the governor shut our beverage recycling division down in Deposit, Michigan.
Yeah.
So I had two plants with 220 people that weren't working for like 4 months. We didn't lay anybody off. We paid them, everybody, for 4 months. We'd get some PPP money, but they didn't have to go out and try to file for unemployment and look, you know, whatever. And I think they really appreciated that. It's competitive out there. There's a shortage of workers, whether it's, you know, machinists or truck drivers or whatever. But we've gotten through it pretty well, all things considered. But I'm not saying it's been easy.
has all the benefits paid out during the pandemic, you know, the extension of the unemployment and all of that, and the higher wages that we're seeing, like in retail and restaurant jobs, has that forced you to have to increase your pay to attract new people?
Well, those jobs you described,
mm-hmm.
we always paid quite a bit more than they did, always did. Now, we are up probably on the payroll side in the last 2 years, we're probably up 30% as a company. And it's certainly been a more challenging, no doubt about it. We at one time in the northern Indiana, our Elkhart plant, we had people stop our truck drivers and say, whatever you get paid, we'll pay you $3 an hour more.
Mm.
If you're getting paid. I mean, that's the kind of challenge you have now.
You're not thinking of retiring anytime soon.
Not really. For school. Those are, you know, I still really enjoy learning. I would be bored. It's not like I could go out and play golf every day or go fishing every day. I'm involved with a fair amount of philanthropic stuff. I'm on a number of boards. And I think, you know, it's not what you take with you, it's what you leave behind. And the nice nice thing about being reasonably successful, it gives you opportunities to really do make a difference. I was involved in starting a school 6 years ago, a charter, for 15 to 22-year-olds that couldn't make it in the public school and couldn't make it in the alternative school. Mm-hmm. And it's been a great school. It's a nonprofit. And I can't remember how many people we've graduated, but boy, when you listen to one of their graduations or one of their speeches and says, well, I lived in my mom's car with my sister in fifth grade for a year. I mean, the things that these kids have gone through are just unbelievable. So those are the kind of things that, you know, you really can make a difference.
The school that you're involved in, so these are kids that essentially would be falling through the cracks then in the regular public school system because of...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They were in the public school system. And we don't care if you're 18 and you're in fifth grade. That's where we start in fifth grade. As far as, and then we get one-on-one with teachers who really care. Now, we don't have, not like a high school where you got banned and...
Yeah. Extracurriculars like that. Yeah.
We go around, it's year-round schooling, two sessions, morning and afternoon. We have breakfast and lunch. So some of these kids, it's a great way for them to get fed.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, I think right now we have about 160 in the school.
What do you feel is the biggest issue facing the recycling industry right now?
Oh, that's an awful small question. I could say world peace.
Well, that factors into it, doesn't it? With Russia, it does. Ukraine, yes.
Well, I think we have to understand, especially, you know, the world wants to be green and this and that, whatever. But you also know that this is something... you have to know it's going to be a matter of time before a lot of this happens. It's not going to happen in 2 days, and no president is going to legislate that, oh, we're all going to be green today, and when people don't have enough energy, or even with the electric vehicles, for example, we're not even close to the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of a mandate that you have to have an electric vehicle, not even close. Whether it's the lithium that's needed or the copper or all these things. And also, you look at from an environmental, you got China that just as last year had 57 new power plants, and they're all coal-fired.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're not going to tell Africa that, oh, we don't want you to use fossil fuels. These are people that are living to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just have to be somewhat realistic. Do we want to do the right things and with our environment? Absolutely. But you got to be, you know, somewhat reasonable. And you don't want, the last thing you want is the government to make it so draconian that you can't do business. There should be a lot, let's put it this way, there should be a lot better recoveries. Mm-hmm. Painter industry than there is right now, eventually. And I know a lot of have gone away from plastic to aluminum, and there's a shortage right now of aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be there for a while. I think, you know, there's just a lot of things. When you start looking at the cost of fuel for your trucks, equipment, insurance is, I don't know, I think a lot of opportunities in the recycling industry. I think aluminum itself, in the next 5 years, is going to be more and more demand for scrap. I really do, because if you look at the difference between that and the cost of primary aluminum, not even close, you got a 90% saving.
Mm-hmm.
Scrap. So all the majors, the consumers, they want to go green, and they're going to have special alloys that are made from post-consumer goods and this and that, whatever, which are going to be theoretically attractive, especially in the auto area, I think. So,
right. I mean, all of the aluminum companies are talking about wanting to decarbonize, right? And the fastest right. way for them to do that is scrap.
Well, also, if you look at aluminum, primary aluminum, the whole value of that is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And look at Europe right now, the price of their energy compared to our energy, the price, the current trading price isn't even close to allowing profits there for primary aluminum. No way. It would have to be some much, much higher prices. And instead, you know, we got the prices now are about half of what they were back at the end of April. They were too high then, so to speak. But still, but if you look at steel and aluminum especially, it's just been a real challenge. But understand, too, there is a cost for recycling. It isn't always free, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. It's the right thing to do for multiple reasons, right?
Oh, absolutely. It really is. And I think the world, you know, the world is changing. The globalization that we've had before seems to be changing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have more ability to control their own destinies. And that's going to change how things are manufactured in some places.
Well, that whole decarbonization trend definitely going to increase demand for scrap, but also just the need for raw material, period. Like, we won't be able to supply all the copper we need to have that green energy transition, right, without recycling being a component of it.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But how can you do it efficiently? It makes economic sense. And you don't have, in order to cite something, sometimes it's so difficult because of regulation, something that should take forever. Either people say, hey, I'm not going to try doing this because it's too long before you're going to be able to do it. So I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I'm not always right, but I'm seldom in doubt. It's a problem sometimes.
You mentioned you're going to be announcing two new locations. Are you able to talk any more about those now?
Well, I'll just say one will be in Kentucky and one will be in Michigan, and they'll be up and running probably within I would say 12 to 18 months.
Okay. You're not allowed to say what they'll be focusing on, or?
Well, aluminum.
I was going to guess aluminum, especially in Kentucky there.
We have some recycling technology moving forward, which we know the material will be in demand.
When do you think you'll be able to make a formal announcement on those facilities?
When?
Yeah.
Equipment's already ordered. I say when we get closer to sticking a shovel in the ground, especially in our distribution and manufacturing, I mean, we make some really sophisticated parts for medical right now. But we're looking at for growth by acquisition, right? The other small manufacturers. Probably won't grow in distribution, but we believe in the products that you can value add. Probably grow most. The other thing is we're a family business, and I have you've talked to or you know, I assume that you know that I have four family members that are in here and important positions, and we all work hard together. We get along well. We respect each other. And they all contribute in their own ways, and I feel very fortunate because there's a lot of stories that where the kids get involved or not involved, or all they want is a check.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do have a fiduciary responsibility to your employees and your family.
So, are all of your children involved in the business?
Yes.
Great. Did you have to sell any of them on it, or they joined willingly?
I said we're going to shoot this puppy if you don't. Try to keep my sense of humor here. The us 5 or 6 years ago, who's now, he's the youngest, who's now president of the international division, has done an incredible job. But he comes from an entrepreneur background. He graduated the University of Arizona in entrepreneurship, Eller School, which was really good. And he has his own business. He does an incredible job for us, but he and some buddies started, they have a business in California where they manufacture a certain style shirt, Henley, LA, and they manufacture them in California. And it's just, it's one of those things where he was more challenging. He lives in California, and that's where he works out of, but he's all over the world. He's traveling all the time. I have a son-in-law that runs the aluminum distribution manufacturing, which has the most employees, and he does a great job. And my daughter, who has I have three grandchildren, oldest 17. She does governmental affairs, Shana. She's awesome, which we need to do. We work with the government on different things. And let's see what else. My eldest son works in the electronics division, and he's definitely contributing there too. So we're all, you know, trying to make it work. We're the three things we want to teach our children. Three things which I think we really have was, first was integrity. You always tell the truth, always, whatever it is. I don't care what you do, but tell me the truth. Two is tenacity. When you get knocked down, you get up and don't complain or whine, but, you know, fight your way through whatever it takes to keep moving. And then the last one was compassion. And if you have those three values, I think that's what I wanted out of our kids, and I think we have it.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you. I appreciate your time.
Okay, well, take care and have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. Right.